There are more female candidates running for public office across the country this year than ever before. For the general election, 23 females are still in U.S. Senate races, including both major party candidates in Arizona, Kyrsten Sinema and Martha McSally, and 239 remain in the hunt for U.S. House seats. And the explanations for why so many more women are running include opposition to President Trump and support for the Me Too movement. And the current confirmation fight over Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and a rape allegation against him have spotlighted some potential differences in how male and female elected officials view that circumstance and others. To learn more about how significant 2018 may be when it comes to women in office, I talked with ASU political scientist Kim Fridkin at her office. I started by asking whether we're going to continue to see a lot more women jumping into politics, even if this year's candidates don't win at a huge rate.
Yeah, I think we will. So there are a record number of women running for all sorts of levels of office, not just at the Senate level, but all the way down to the local level. And so that's a change. And so I think that for women to win, they have to run. And for a long time, women have waited for other people to ask them to run. And I think this year, there's been a change in that. The women are motivated enough to not wait and be asked. So there is a pretty significant ambition gap between men and women, and maybe that's going to subside because women think, because of, you know, they're very motivated right now because of the political context. So maybe they're becoming more ambitious, not maybe for themselves, but for the good of the country.
Why is the gender gap as wide as it seems to be? Why does it seem to be expanding in such a way? Is there just the feeling that one really is the grand old party living up to that and not really changing with the times, or is there something deeper than that?
I think it might be as simple as that. In some ways, yeah, the Republican Party hasn't evolved very much, and it's becoming a party of white men. And some of the issues that women in general care about, things like health care and fair wage and the environment, those are issues that are more a priority for the Democratic Party than the Republican Party. So I think the Republican Party could change and evolve, but until they do, I don't see the gender gap disappearing.
So is it a possibility, at least right now, maybe a short-term thing, where this is a little bit more about men versus women politically than it is Democrats versus Republicans in some sense?
Right. I think it's still party driving the differences. But because the parties and the gender priorities align so closely to each other, it's kind of hard to disentangle.
How big a difference would it make if we saw more women in the U.S. House, saw more women in the U.S. Senate?
Well, I think that it would make a big difference. There's a lot of research showing that there's a sort of a role model effect. So when women are being represented by women in governorships and in the Senate, high-profile positions, women voters become more efficacious and they feel more empowered. And so they're also going to be more likely, I think, to be politically active and maybe pursue a political career. So it can make a big difference.
So speculate with me a little bit. We know how dirty campaigns get. There will be some horrible things said about everybody. In races where we'll see a very conservative male against a more progressive woman, let's say, do you expect that to actually be seen in those ads or in debates or not? Or do you think people will, to whatever extent we can say this in politics, will be on their best behavior? We won't see sort of male issues versus female issues as much on the campaign trail.
Well, I mean, you bring up an interesting point about negative campaigning when there is a woman. And there is research that suggests that it is detrimental for a man to attack a woman because of stereotypes that we still hold about the proper behavior. So I do think that male candidates, when running against women candidates, have to be careful if they're going to go negative, not to go personal, but to stay in the issues. So that is an interesting kind of dilemma that I think male candidates face. There's some kind of conflicting evidence about when women go negative, whether that can backfire, because again, women, there's these stereotypes that women should be nice and not too aggressive. And so running a negative campaign can be seen as aggressive. So there's kind of landmines on both sides.
That's ASU political scientist Kim Fridkin. The conservative-leaning Independent Women's Forum commissioned a poll last month of 1,000 likely voters and found that 85% of Americans say that a candidate's gender won't determine how they'll vote in November. According to IWF senior policy analyst Patrice Onwuka, nearly a third of the poll's respondents said they would like to see more women in Congress, but that wouldn't determine how they'd cast their vote. I asked Onwuka whether she believed the narrative around people wanting to vote more for women has been overstated.
I think it makes a really great headline, and certainly it certainly is meant to encourage women to get into politics, which I think we would all agree is a good thing. But I do think it is overselling the idea that women vote for women because they're women, or that the year of the women is being driven by just female voters voting for women because of their gender. You know, when we look at the overall party affiliations number, 69% of liberal women say that that gender is still not the determining factor in how they vote. That's still a really strong number, which suggests that, you know, just because you have you're a woman, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to win public office. And I think that's really important. The electorate, particularly women, are not wedded to the idea that you have to vote for a woman because of feminism and because you're trying to advance women's causes.
We always hate to lump things in as being women's issues or fill in the blank issues for some particular subgroup of, you know, whether it's some interest group or whatever it may be. But are there certain issues that women, even if they disagree on them, if someone's coming from a conservative standpoint or a more liberal standpoint, that women just by having more common experience could potentially work together better in Congress?
All issues are women's issues, and that ranges from foreign policy, you know, to tax policy. And what's interesting is when we asked, you know, if there are a specific set of quote unquote women's issues, 54% said that no, all issues should be something that women care about. You know, looking now at kind of the generic ballot polling for the 2018 midterm elections, we look at what are the most important issues for women. And whether you are Democrat, Republican, Independent, the top issues are number one, economic, number two, national security, and number three, healthcare. Those so-called women's issues that tend to be defined as abortion rights, reproductive rights, you know, things pertaining to just our bodies, they don't even crack the top four, maybe the top five for left-leaning women. So this tells us that when women, you know, care about, number one, the most important things in, you know, their family, their pocketbooks, their security, both domestically as well as internationally, and they care about healthcare. And I think that's consistent with men.
You've done the pundit thing, and I always have to ask people sound of the opinion question at the end. Whether it is seeing more Republican women in office or more Democratic women or both, whatever we may see, do you expect November to see a lot more women elected than we've seen in Congress in the past?
Yes, I think we will see more women elected. I think the spike in the number of women who've run for office this cycle is really notable. Interestingly, of course, there are a lot more women on the progressive side or the left side who are running for office. What I don't like about how the media is painting the story is that they tend to overlook the number of women on the conservative side who are running for office, both those who are incumbents as well as those who are new women to the game. And while, yes, there are fewer Republican or conservative-leaning women who are running for office, I think it's important that we give, you know, at least the same amount of weight to the fact that they are running. You know, but I think, will this be a historic sea change? We'll certainly see more women in Congress. Will it mean that we will see 50-50 split? No, not anytime soon, but at least it's encouraging to other women to step forward and say, you know what, I want to do more for my country, and this is a way that I can serve my nation.
Patrice Onwuka is a senior policy analyst for the Independent Women's Forum. The Arizona Democratic Party is counting on voters moving toward their candidates because of their stances on issues like education and health care, but the party will also hope to draw support for female nominees who can bring different perspectives and a different approach. The party chair is Felicia Rodellini, former attorney general nominee. She says women tend to be problem solvers.
They're independent thinkers. They will reach across the aisle. They have a low tolerance. They don't suffer fools. And what we're seeing is that men and women voters are looking at women candidates as the answer to these problems that continue to plague us election cycle after election cycle. That's what I'm seeing. Women run with integrity. They run with authenticity. And that's something that all voters are looking for, regardless of party affiliation.
Do voters expect women to rise above? Are there certain expectations where women have to be cleaner and not, the ads can't be quite as rough? And is that a perception that persists or that is wrong?
Well, as a candidate, you have to follow your own values when it comes to how you run your campaign. And there are going to be opportunities for women candidates to call it the way they see it. And that sometimes seems to be mean or would come across more as playing dirty. Mm-hmm. I think there is a bit of a double standard, but it cuts both ways. I think male candidates who beat up on a woman candidate, people don't like that. So I think a woman candidate, in my personal opinion, since I am a woman and I have been a candidate, should raise the bar. It doesn't always happen. No one's perfect, but women candidates should be raising the bar for everyone to keep the arguments and the debates about issues and to keep personalities out of the arguments, out of the debate.
What will make this sustainable? What makes it so that when women get results, people are going to say, we need to get more women in office. We have to do that.
I think they've already said that. I think that there are many women leaders in the U.S. Senate on both sides, Republican and Democrat, that have called out the president for really bad behavior. I think that is what we want to see more of, is the values being more important than politics and the will of the people and the opportunity for all people to thrive to be more important than political agendas. Mm-hmm. We are hoping that that's the case for all candidates, male and female. If women are in the mix and more than usual because voters are looking to them to raise the bar, I think that's very important.
Felicia Rodellini is chair of the Arizona Democratic Party. Good to see you.
Great to see you.